Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Since it's Wednesday, we're going to be reading something from 2010 today. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. Got a story for you today about the squabble over who gets to call its municipal drainage ditch the world's shortest river. Between Lincoln City, Oregon, and Great Falls, Montana. Oh, it's all in good fun. But it pits the D River against the Roe River. And of course, we're rooting for Oregon. So go D River. This story was first published on June 14th of 2010. Here we go. In the middle of Lincoln City, travelers on Highway 101 often stop to pose under a small road sign. It reads, D River, World's Shortest. And if those travelers happen to be from Great Falls, Montana, home of the 201-foot-long Roe River, chances are they don't believe it for a minute. For several dozen years, there's been a running debate between Lincoln City and Great Falls over which of them gets to be home of the world's shortest river. Even Johnny Carson, the legendary host of The Tonight Show, got involved. On the wrong side, if you're rooting for Oregon. Well, the Dee River was named in a contest in 1940 when the town around it was called Dee Lake. The concept was to give the world's shortest river the world's shortest name. The river lets the water from Devil's Lake flow out into the ocean, and it is not exactly enormous in length or in width. It's about 30 feet wide and 3 feet deep at its most deep spot. Its original survey had it running 440 feet from the edge of the lake to the extreme low tide mark on the beach. That worked great until 1987, when a group of middle school students in Great Falls, Montana, realized that the Roe River, at 201 feet, was less than half that long. And from that point, the fight was on. The kids marshaled some powerful support when they got booked on The Tonight Show. It worked. The next edition of the Guinness Book listed the Roe River as the shortest river. Well, that raised some hackles in Lincoln City. Everyone said it was all in good fun, but some of the remarks had an edge to them. Quote, a group of school kids in Great Falls basically went out and got a drainage ditch surveyed for a school project, David Gomberg, the director of Lincoln City Chamber of Commerce, was heard to grumble. As a drainage ditch, the Roe would be something to see. The stream flow is in the range of 2,300 cubic feet per second, or about half the size of the Mackenzie River at Leeburg. Moreover, the D itself isn't exactly huge. But then it's not usually 440 feet long either. In fact, it's only that long twice a year at the two maximum low tides. With the title on the line, Lincoln City locals started thinking that maybe that wasn't a fair way to measure their river. So a local survey company sallied forth on a spring tides ebb and measured the river at its shortest, with the tide as high as possible, and the ocean practically lapping at the footings of Highway 101. The result, 120 feet. Armed with this information, the Lincoln City partisans went back to the Guinness Book publishers to petition for a new trial. In 1990, the Guinness people agreed to update the listing so that it listed the Dee River as the world's shortest during high tides and the Roe as the world's shortest at all other times. Both could keep their world's shortest river signs and information, and everybody was happy. Well, almost everybody. Everybody's a winner. Everybody gets a trophy. But then in 2006, the Guinness Book of World Records quietly dropped the shortest river category altogether. Perhaps they were simply getting sick of getting pestered by diehard fans of both rivers urging them to declare a clear river. Maybe they were worried about groups elsewhere in the country renaming mill pond spillways and drainage channels as rivers in an attempt to gain publicity. Or maybe they simply ran out of space. They didn't say. In any case, with neither the Guinness Book nor Johnny Carson to judge the case, there's no stopping both rivers' boosters from claiming victory. Well, that is our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone newsreader, a series of live history shows, a Facebook page, and a couple of other minor components as well. YouTube channel, Tumblr blog, things like that. All of it is accessible through our anchor page at offbeatoregon.com. Visual goodies and other resources that go with today's show can be found at offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources for this story, as well as more than 250 other Offbeat Oregon history columns written over the past 5 years since I've been doing these. Like this podcast, those articles are covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and it was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon history for fun and to learn things. I don't ever want it to turn into something I dread, something like a J-O-B. So I don't sell advertising or ask for donations. But if you enjoy the podcast and you'd like to support it, you can always buy a copy of my book. If you enjoy this podcast, I can almost guarantee that you will like the book. It's called Wicked Portland. It's published by the History Press in 2012, and they're available at community bookstores. Or if you like, you can order a signed copy through the store link at offbeatoregon.com. It sells for $20. Finally, if you're ever in the neighborhood near Oregon State University, drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee in the library coffee shop and talk history. I'm Finn at offbeatoregon.com. Our next show will be coming your way around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. That's Thursday morning. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.